Indeed, been a blessing already to have been here with you so far already. I enjoyed listening to Sunday school lesson and singing together and listening to Tony's devotions. Walt says we haven't talked about a day of rest here yet this morning. That's because the sermon didn't start yet. The sermon this morning is finding rest in a busy world. So we're going to talk about rest the rest of this morning. But I have a few thoughts I'd like to share with you first. As I was listening to Tony's devotions this morning, I quickly scribbled down some notes because when we rest, and this is like jumping ahead, but I thought it fit really well with some of my thoughts. It says faith sees. Okay, so as we need restoration, as we need restoration of soul, as our hearts get wore out in the daily walk of life, as our hearts need that restoration, we're called to come back to God and see with eyes of faith what He wants to do to restore my soul. And Tony said this morning, he said, faith sees the resurrection which is to come. And that's how we're going to finish this morning. We're going to look at the resurrection, and we're going to look at the New Jerusalem and what God has for us there. So faith sees the resurrection which is to come. Faith also sees the grace of Christ in the lives of others. We can encourage our hearts together in the Lord as we see what He's doing among us. And then the third thing he said is that faith sees transformation of myself today. God is working in my heart. And so as we go through the work of building the kingdom and living life, and we do get tired, we need to be able to keep in mind the hope of the future of the resurrection, be able to see the grace that Christ is doing in the lives of others, recognize the transformation that God is working in myself today. And then it went on to say about hope. Today's affliction does not compare to the glory that shall be of that which is to come. Our focus needs to remain on the invisible and on the eternal, and less on the physical, visible circumstances that we face every week. We need to keep our eyes focused on that which is future. I don't know. Is that what you said this morning, Tony? Where's Tony? I want to see Donna. There he is. Yeah. So that was a real blessing to me this morning. Then we sang a song after that. That is, I had it marked here by bending a page back, which you should never do in a book. All the way my Savior leads me. And so it is verse 2. All the way my Savior leads me. Cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter and my soul athirst may be. A lot of times when we're feeling wore out, not just I'm tired because I didn't get enough sleep the last 2 days, but I'm tired because the work has been too hard, too fast, for too long. When we get that soul weariness that hits us. Though my weary steps may falter and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. And so I invite you here to turn with me to, Exodus 17. Turn with me to Exodus 17 here. We would like to look at this water gushing from the rock to refresh our souls. So Moses is with the people and they're going through the wilderness. They're in the toughest spot that they've been since they left Egypt. 17 verses 1 through 6, it says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, saying, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and said, Wherefore is that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod. Wherefore thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee, there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of all the elders of Israel, and water gushed from the rock. And as we run to the times of our life when our soul is dry, we now live in the days when the Holy Spirit has come, and we can have out of our belly a river of living water. John 7. Turn with me to John 7. John 7, 37 and 38. The type that is working here is that Jesus is that rock, and water of redemption, water of life, flows from Christ, the rock of our salvation. In John 7, 37, Jesus is at the feast. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, out as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, that they which believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so today we live in post-Pentecost days. We have the Holy Spirit. And when we need rest, we turn back to God. That's my point this morning. When we need rest, we turn back to God. We go back to God. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And when the Holy Spirit is living in us and working through us, even in our tiredness, we can have rivers of living water gushing from us, as it's said here. So, the question this morning is, are you tired this morning? Are you tired this morning? How many of you are tired this morning? Some of you, not too many. That's good. We all slept good last night. So, one of the things that is current in our day is we ask each other, how are you? And we used to say, good. Today people say, well, we're busy right now. And that becomes almost like a standard answer. I don't know that that's true around here for sure, but I do hear that sometimes. But we should not be, the primary thing in our lives is not, shouldn't be that we're busy. Are you tired this morning? What has made you tired? Even as we work and fulfill our responsibilities, we become tired. We're physical beings. We're humans who need rest. And so we become weary with the days. As I was praying about what to share with you this morning, I was thinking about our last few weeks, and they were really busy. And if you count back through the lives of our congregation in the last month and a half, it's filled with regular summer travel, lots of work. Tony's were up in Canada with PWTC, and they came home weary. Mel and Rosanna took a wedding trip to Alaska there with her sister, somebody getting married up there. Talking with Chris. Chris has had a couple of long weeks of work. And so as I look back across our congregation, and even in the last 2 weeks, we worked to start school. New staff came in, so they're adjusting to us and we're adjusting to them. The youth group was here from Shalom. You all were involved in making food and providing lodging. In the middle of that, we decided there's a roof needs repaired, so we repaired that. There's just been a lot of activity, and a lot of people have been doing things that are out of normal. And we could add to that list. I'm sure that's not near all of the things that if I would ask you, what have you been doing in the last month? What has made you busy and what has made you tired? Okay, those are the things that kept me busy and kept me tired. But what are the things that happen in your life? And so there is reason this morning that as a congregation, we could be feeling weariness. We could be tired. We could feel emotions that need rest. Hopefully we're not at the point of exhaustion. But I'm going to guess that there are some people here this morning that are feeling just about exhausted. Exhausted mentally and emotionally. When we go through long periods of time without adequate downtime, without adequate refreshment, when we lose sleep, we begin to get a tiredness that affects our emotions, and even our physical bodies suffer. Okay? We lose our ability to think and make rational decisions with discernment. I'm not simply talking about days, a day or two when you didn't get enough sleep, though that can make us weary also, and that can affect our ability to think and relate properly. I'm talking about weariness that begins to make you feel stretched a little too thin. And that can happen in small groups like ourselves that are passionate about what we're doing. When there is a passion in your life to live for the kingdom and to work together, which is how our group functions, there are times that we can begin to feel physical weariness. The load is too heavy. The pace is too fast for too long. So my question is this morning, what I know you wrestle with from time is, how do I get a break? How do I catch a break from being busy? How do I recuperate? What do you do when you're too tired to do the genuine responsibilities and feel good about them, when you think that you have nothing left to give? And it's all dried up. There's nothing left. What do you do? Well, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 6 of the book of Mark. As we look at Jesus' life and how he lived in his years that he was here, he was a busy guy. I mean, John. I'm not going to find Mark there. Mark chapter 6. So Jesus is teaching, he's healing, he sends out his disciples. He sends them out by two. Verse 7, it says, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff, no scrip, no bread, no money for their purse, but to be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. So he sent them out with the bare minimums. And so he sends them out. They go out. Verse 12 says, and they went out and they preached that men should repent. And it tells some of the work that they had done. In the middle of all of this, King Herod arrests John the Baptist. And he puts him in prison. As you follow the chapter down through, eventually he is beheaded. The disciples return. Drop down to verse 30. It says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things both that they had done and what they had taught. All right, so it was there's an air of excitement in what they're doing, but I'm also guessing that they're weary. They're tired. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Now, I don't know if you know much about the geography of the land there, but Israel's a fairly desert place. And so if they want to get off to some remote place away from where everybody else is, they're going to the desert. What I find interesting in this is Jesus basically told them, let's get away to the cabin for a weekend. That's really what he said. He said, let's go off to the cabin. Let's get into the mountains and let's rest. And so I think that Jesus doesn't look down on us when we go off to a retreat place somewhere from times. I think he intends for us to do that. He said, let's get away into a desert place. I think I skipped a verse. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So there's lots of activity going on around them. There's all kinds of things. People were coming. People were going. Lots of demands on their time. Lots of people needing this or needing that. I know that I feel that way sometimes, and I'm sure that you do. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. How would you like if you were taking off for the weekend, and you were going, oh, Rodney's, you're out camping this weekend. How about if you took off Friday night, and by the time you got out there, you realized that all of us were at the same camping spot, and we're going to spend the weekend with you? That have been refreshing? Hopefully. Well, we're not going to put Roddy on the spot. We'd like to think we're refreshing people, but he needs to get away from us sometimes too. So when you go off to the cabin or to retreat, you actually don't want the whole church to show up and be with you, or all of your workers, or all the people that you spend time with. Okay, we need retreat. All right, and this is exactly what happened to Jesus and his disciples. By the time they got there, they were all these people. And it says, and Jesus, when he saw that, he was moved with compassion. Doesn't say the disciples were moved with compassion. They weren't, probably. But Jesus was moved with compassion. And Jesus, verse 34, when he came out, saw much people, was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. One of the reasons that we go on when we're tired is because we see the work that needs to be done, and we know that we are called to do it. That's why we go on. That's why we keep on. Jesus was fully human. He was just as tired then as you are today. He needed the break. But he knew that his Father had called him to minister to these people. And he went ahead and did it. And when the day was now far spent, the disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time has far passed. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And so we have the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus feeds them all. Verse 44, "And they that did eat the loaves were about 5,000. Verse 45, Jesus now is telling his disciples, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side unto Bethsaida, and while he sent the people away." So he said, you go, I'll finish this. And when he was tired, when he was finished, he went into the mountain to pray. And so then you think that all of this rest that you're going after, so they go to take their rest, and instead they feed the 5,000. Like 5,000 people showed up at their retreat. That's not much of a rest. And then on top of that, they head out into the boat, and if they haven't had enough emotional drama and adrenaline in the last while, here comes this person walking across the water in the middle of a storm. And Jesus comes to them into the boat, and he says, "Be of good cheer, it is I." He comes to them. They find him walking on the water. They go over, they finish, and let's see what happens. Verse 54. "And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him," people. "And they ran throughout the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick. And they heard where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into cities and villages and country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch him, touch of it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole." Jesus continued to bless and to heal the people. That's a challenging verse. That's a challenging set of verses. When we feel tired. Galatians 6:9 tells us not to become weary in well-doing, for in the due season, for at the right time, we will reap if we do not faint and quit. So God calls us to be encouraged that he has work for us to do. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows that we are mortal. He knows that we are not him. And so he will not ask us to carry more than we can carry. If there is something on your plate that is your responsibility, God gave that to you. The church gave that to you. As a group, we believe you can do that. God will not ask you to do something that you can't do. He will give you the strength to carry it. Turn with me then to Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. What do we need to do when we rest, when we need rest? I think these verses are very instructive on what we should do. It says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So often I think that when I can't go anymore, what I need to do is to stop and get away by myself and not do anything. And that may be true. I think that's true some of the time. But some of the time, what I need to do is adjust my spirit. And not just adjust my mind, but adjust my heart. And realize that even in the busyness of the work that I am called to do, I can come to Christ and he will give me rest. There can be rest in the middle of the many things that there are to be doing. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." One of the things that happens that makes us tired is we become resistant to what it is that we have to do. We resist the responsibility. We resist the call in our life. And Jesus said, "No, learn from me. I am meek. I am lowly." Learn to have humility in our hearts as we approach the responsibilities that we have. Come with a meekness and a lowliness of heart, knowing that it isn't me who gets the work done anyhow. It's Christ who fills us. He says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And that, as the people of that day would have understood, was, I think, in the same frame of Jesus being a rabbi and who was bringing with him his 12 disciples. And all of the rabbis back in that day would have these disciples that follow them and teach them. And when you followed a rabbi, that was called taking the yoke of the rabbi. And so Jesus is saying to them very clearly, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you follow me, that's going to be an easier yoke for you to follow than the yoke of the rabbis that are in Israel today. Jesus is telling them. He's not saying that it's going to be easy. He's simply saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light compared to others. Another passage. There's lots and lots of passages. One of the things that I would challenge you to do is to look up verses of what God says to us about rest, about being tired, about promises to restore. The Bible is so full. When I went into looking at what does God have to say to me about rest, I was astonished at the amount of promises that God gives us, that when we're running out of energy, if we look to Him, He promises to restore. He promises to fill us. Isaiah chapter 40 and 41, we can't read that whole thing here this morning. We could, but I don't think we're going to. But it is a passage that's just full of God telling Israel how He is going to restore them when they come back, when they look towards Him. Just like to read 28 through 31. These are familiar verses, but mostly verse 31 is what we're used to reading. But when you're in the middle and you're questioning, why am I here? And when I can't get my head above the water, here's the focus that we need to have. Hast thou not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, He fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I think that's powerful verses. What a place to rest. What a place to take our rest. We go back to God, who does not faint. He is never weary. It doesn't matter how tired I get. I can go back to God and He is never weary. That's where I get my strength from in the first place. Strength is renewed best by turning back to God. If you think that you're working hard and no one notices, again, God has a verse for you. If you think that you are toiling away and everyone has forgotten you, Hebrews 6:10 says this, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." Did you know that was there? God is not unrighteous. He will not forget your work. He will not forget your labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. He says you are ministering, you have ministered, and you're continuing to minister. God will not forget what you do in His name. 1 Peter 4:19, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Commit your souls unto God because He can keep your soul. Jeremiah 31:25 says, "For I will satisfy the weary soul, and every languishing soul I will replenish." Another wonderful promise of God. Resting our souls by turning to God and resting in the Lord. We can say, as D.L. Moody did when someone asked him, "Do you not get tired? How do you keep going on year after year after year?" D.L. Moody was one who worked in the kingdom. He worked as a slave in the kingdom, tirelessly, seemingly, relentlessly for God, preaching and teaching. And D.L. Moody said, "I do get tired in the work, but I do not get tired of the work." And he was able to say that because his rest was in God. We can only have that testimony when we're taking our soul to God for refreshment. I would like to read a number of verses here that are continuing to tell us about God taking care of us. Psalm 44, verse 8. I'm looking for a piece of paper that I think I failed to bring along. Anyway, I had written down 9 things that we should do to find refreshment when we are tired. Psalm 4:8 says, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone make me to dwell in safety." And one of those things on a list of nine things that we ought to do when we're too tired is to sleep. Sometimes we just need to sleep. And in that sleep, God refreshes our souls. Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2, again, talking about sleep. "Unless the Lord builds the house and the builders labor in vain, unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." And so in the middle of all of our life, we need to ask ourselves, are we taking care of ourselves bodily? Are we resting as we ought to? Are we taking time for that? One of the things that is in that list is that when we feel so tired, we think we can't do anything more. One of the things that should be happening in our life is we should be getting proper exercise. We should be continuing to move. When we just stop, then our bodies don't refresh like they ought to. So we need to continue exercise, and we need to continue eating right and drinking enough. Many times when we're busy, we don't drink as we ought to, and we're actually running around half dehydrated. And so one of the physical things that needs to happen when we're wore out is take enough time to eat properly and to drink enough so that we're physically where we ought to be. I read Jeremiah 31:25, "I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint." Hebrews 12:13, "Therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees, make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather be healed." Isaiah 40:29, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." Psalm 73:26, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." We get tired, we wear out, but God is the strength of our heart. I would like to note two things, though, that in the middle of all of the things that God says to do that about being tired, there's two things that we are not supposed to get tired of. Two things that we need to do that God says, here's where I want you to focus your efforts. Don't get tired of doing these. Do you know what things God says that we're not supposed to get tired of doing? Anybody?
To do good.
To do good, yeah. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, "But you, brothers, do not become weary in doing well and doing good." Do not become weary in doing good. What's another one? Never lack in this. I'll make a couple of things, but never lack in zeal, enthusiasm, diligence. Romans 12:11 says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep up your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." When we get busy, one of the things that we're tempted to do is to stop reading and praying. We tend to stop with our spiritual life. And God calls us to never give up in our spiritual life. Never be lacking in enthusiasm. Never stop. Keep going on. Keep up your spiritual fervor. Keep up your spiritual energy serving the Lord. Turn with me to Revelation 21. In talking about rest, I intentionally chose to preach shorter this morning so you can get home and rest some more today, so Rodney can get back out to his campsite. Revelation 21, verses 3 through 7. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." This is incredible hope for me as I live out my life, that what I do here has eternal value. And verse 4, "When we are weary and when we are faint, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So my encouragement to us this morning is, no matter where you find yourself at in life, maybe you're really not tired and you're doing well. That's wonderful. I do feel weary from the last few weeks. And it says that if I have a thirst and a hunger in my heart, I'm feeling dry, that when I turn back to God, there's a water of life. There's a spring of well. There's a wellspring that is available to me through the Holy Spirit that can just fill us right back up to the top. And he says here, he that overcometh, he that doesn't quit, he that doesn't stop when things are tough, when we get to the end, when we get to the end of what we're called to do, then he will be our God and we will be his children. That's incredible. I can live with that hope. It's a blessed place to be. So I'm going to ask you if anyone has any testimonies this morning, any things that you'd like to share about how you lived this summer and how God strengthened you. Are there any testimonies of God fulfilling you when you were empty, or anything that you'd like to say about the sermon here this morning? So I have wrestled with what to say to you all from the evening when we prayed last week with anointing. And Dale shares this dramatic healing thing that everybody could hear right from the beginning there. So I have felt jealous of Dale that he was able to get an operation that really fixed him. I have felt jealous of that. And that's not right. But I asked for the anointing, and I asked for healing. And I am not sure what to say, but I know there was a moment when Glenn and Dalton was praying, there was a moment when I felt physically changed. I felt God do something inside my chest. I felt like this hiccup in my heart, and it started beating smoothly. I know that. Did God heal me? I don't know. I don't have any tests that would prove that for 6 months yet. So I don't know if I'm healed or not. But I do know that I have felt better since then. I have felt better since that night. My energy has increased. I am not dealing with shortness of breath, and I'm not dealing with fatigue like I was. I haven't tried to split wood with Hans yet. I don't know if I haven't because I'm afraid to or not. Maybe a little bit. But I know that I feel stronger. And so I don't know if God has physically eradicated heart disease from my life or not. But for right now, I tell you guys, I do feel better. And I know that God has brought me strength today that I didn't have 2 weeks ago. I feel better. So praise God for that. I don't know. We will have to see what the future holds. Anyone else? That is amazing. God, we need to let God heal and refresh us in a way that brings Him glory. And whether it's the same way that we think it ought to be or not isn't really the point, actually. Let God be God and let me be me.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. like, that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Psalm number 15 in the God's praise. Can we sing that? To God be the glory.
Mm-hmm. We can. I want to sing another song first.
Okay.
I would like to have you all stand up. I told Seth I might lead the closing songs, and I think I might. So stand up. Let's sing together in the Christian hymnal, 370. There's a City of Light. There's a City of Light, 370 in the Christian hymnal.